Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the sophomore season, the second season. That's right, your reigning, defending, undisputed podcasting champions, the Banter Pub FC, the sauciest team in the game, and the spiciest takes on the pitch. Listen, it's been a long time. We shouldn't have left you without some dope shit to listen to. What more can I say than we are back in the pub today? We have our fearless leader, Neil. We have man like Adam. We have man like Jonathan. And you have yours truly, Joseph, a.k.a. Bay Grills, a.k.a. come to nix your gyal. You understand what I'm saying to you? We also have big man like Armour is in the house. Listen, we're back.
There will be no sophomore slump.
No sophomore slump. Man, what championship to defend?
For the community, thank you for sticking with us.
Yes.
We appreciate you.
It's been a intense holiday season.
The festive season,
yes. We hope everybody's still keeping your ass inside. Still washing your ass, still cleaning your ass, still doing everything you're supposed to be doing, because guess what?
Moisturize. Make sure you moisturize.
Moisturize as well. That's definitely crucial.
Please.
In this very dark timeline. Like I said from the very beginning that 2021 is really 2020, the Schneider Cut. And then lo and behold, the news comes out that Schneider Cut is going to be a one-hit, four-hour long movie, and I'm just like, yeah, that sounds like what this year's about to be.
I saw somebody refer to it as 2020.1. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty apropos so far. So
yeah, we are out of the beta stage. We're in the the proper production stage now. So mm-hmm.
Let me emphasize to yes, do moisturize, because my hands, I look like the Thing right now from Fantastic Four. The cold weather is not applicable for skin, so it may moisturize itself for real.
Listen, one is very proud to be openly black, so I appreciate where Jonathan's coming from with the struggle. you know, that's why you got to use butters and oils, my son. You can't be using that Jergens out here. It's just not, like, the older you get, the less effective it is. Anyway, we have so many things, football related things, to get through. Look, you're gonna have to bear with us, because you know what it comes right down to is we are excited. We can't wait to get into all of this mess, and we're gonna start with a segment that we like to call Around the Pitch. There's been a lot to kind of go over. We had to kind of limit it to a certain amount of decisions, but we'll start obviously in the Premier
League. Who's at the top of the Premier League table? Manchester United.
Here we go.
Manchester United is at the top of the table.
I forgot about this part.
And see how long it lasts.
You know what?
Don't be Spurs. Now, don't be Spurs now.
Listen. That's never going to happen. We did our time with Jose Mourinho. We are never doing that shit again, ever. We don't need any Portuguese failures managing our club anymore. That's not what we need. We are happy to be in first place, we are content. But I am cautiously optimistic because it is still January, guys. It's still January. Spurs, as we were just joking about, right? They were claiming they were going to win the title in December. The January window hadn't even opened. And these fools were talking about, we've won a string of four games. We've, you know, we're at the top of our Champions League group. You know, we are riding high. And now they're with us in the Europa League. Now, when they were on a seven-game winning streak through all competitions, now they can't win a point to save their lives. And they're sitting mid-table where they should be.
Jimmy Vardy says the best, you know, chat shit, get banged. And, you know, when they got their late minute winner against Brighton, they thought they were smooth sailing. Now look at them now.
Exactly. I mean, and back in December, they certainly handed United, or it wasn't even December, it was earlier last year, you know, they certainly handed United a certifiable ass woman. And we were a different team, I think, back then than we certainly are now. We didn't have the players playing to their full potential that we have now. And I think we should talk about the most recent result. You know, we played a Liverpool side that certainly has been struggling since losing their linchpin defender in VVD, who literally was the reason that they won a Champions League and a Premier League title in the same year. You can attest it to him and the fact that their front three were scoring goals. And now they can't score goals to save their lives. They are, I don't know if it's a cohesiveness thing. I don't know if people are saying, oh, well, Salah hogs the ball. He's still not passing to Mane. Like, that's still a thing that's not happening. And these brothers are both from the African diaspora, so I don't...
That's like that North Africa kind of thing.
So is it beef? Is it beef then? Can we just go ahead and, like, call it what it is? Is it beef? Because, like, if I didn't think that this was such a serious thing between Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah. I didn't think that this was something of a point of contention. It's the reason why they're misfiring up front. Because they were scoring goals perfectly when they were top of the table. Now, I just think, here's what I think it is, okay? With this Burnley result today, which ends the second longest ever homestand.
Was that 68 matches, I think?
68 matches, yes. I think it's the second longest homestand in Premier League history, right?
Let's give Liverpool some credit. That's pretty incredible.
And I'm taking it back because here's the reason why. Because the reason why we have to take it back is because everybody forgot about the Klopp curse. And yes, yes, I'm sorry. And yeah, Arma, you already know where I'm going with this. The Klopp curse is thus, ladies and gentlemen, what happens in the second season after winning either the league or the domestic cup or even the European Cup competition?
That's true.
What happens? The team slides in form. They start the season off well. They do regression. Well. But then they hit a wall and they never bounce back. This happens with Klopp sides. Now, some like to attest it to the fact that he does a very, very hard, aggressive, judge and press kind of system. Perhaps maybe he's run the players through. They've made the same kind of criticisms of Mauricio Pochettino when he was at Spurs, saying that the reason why Spurs couldn't hang on to it when they were at the top of the table before they eventually coughed it up to Leicester. The reason why they didn't win it was because, again, they hit a wall. And it kind of happened like literally right there at the season. So it's a little bit different with Klopp's teams. He'll get you a championship. Make no mistake about it. It's the second season after that you need to worry about. And it's different to say like a Jose Mourinho, where Jose Mourinho is just like, yeah, he'll get you something hook or by crook. Well, he used to. Now it's a case of even if he gets you to the best that you've ever been, this is the part where the team slides and he loses interest. And he either walks or he gets sacked. Like, the Klopp curse is real, gentlemen. That's what I'm trying to get across to everybody here. And I think it's Liverpool's turn to experience the Klopp curse. Thoughts?
So one more thing to think about too is the addition of Salah going to his brother's wedding and getting COVID. I believe if you look back at the matches since that point as well, there's definitely a downtick as well. So I forgot about the Klopp curse. That is a very valid point, as valid as a curse can be. But I also wonder if Salah, and I mean, you know, COVID is still, even though we're celebrating the like anniversary of a year of it in the U.S., and I think the first case in China was December. But it's still new. It's still novel. We still don't know how it fully affects people, and even the health. We see some of the healthiest people not fully come back. So I'm curious to know if maybe that's affected Salah at least. And then if he's trying too hard to come back, and then he goes back to the ball hogging and all the other stuff and messes up the chemistry. I mean, there's a lot of factors that could be affecting it there.
Well, if that's the case, then what about Firmino? Like, what's wrong with the rest of Liverpool's forwards and midfield? Because like, last season, you couldn't tell me Gini Wijnaldum was not going to score something for you. Or, you know, Jordan Henderson will come in and give you a goal here randomly. But it's like
player of the year, Jordan Henderson.
You know what? We don't have
shout out to Sheldon. We love
recount. Recount.
This guy, Sheldon, he loved him some Jordan Henderson, didn't he? Bloody hell.
Man, everybody who supported Liverpool was like, you know, no, he does something other than run around a whole lot.
Yeah, he sits down and watches them lose even more.
So moving this segment on then, Armour, what do you think now that we have seen United and Liverpool pretty much play a ball draw?
Lord.
That was just like, I mean, I would rather watch paint dry. Then, of course, apart from Paul Pogba's goal against Fulham, United have held firm at the top since being at the top, right?
Yeah.
Liverpool, obviously, are now, their poor form is really starting to show. They've lost their record homestand. Where do you see this going now that we're about to enter February? Just crunch time now.
And this is the halfway mark. We're at match day 19, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Officially.
Exactly. I was definitely going to say that. Like, this is so spicy. The league this season is so spicy. And, you know, as much as we all hate the impact of the coronavirus and all the disruption to people's lives, the Premier League season this year has been entertaining, right? You remember we started off with just absolutely no defense and everybody was just scoring goals willy-nilly, swapping up, you know, like Villa had a run at the top, Everton was up there,
Leeds,
Southampton. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was flavor, right? There's a Leeds lot of excitement.
Stop that.
But they were excited, so they were threatening. They were top four. They were scoring like four goals a game. Like,
we're not gonna acknowledge Leeds. No, we're not gonna do that.
But now this is the time, right? This is the time when the wins start counting. This is where they start adding up. Unless you're in a relegation battle, like this is where the separation starts to happen. Over the next couple of months, you'll see who really has the stomach for it. As much as United has, you know, stayed, I don't know, on top for like a week, there's still too few points between the top and the middle. And so we'll have a lot of opportunity to see what other changes may occur in the season, including who replaces young Frank Lampard at
Chelsea.
the greatest Chelsea player ever.
Ever, apparently. Yeah. Allegedly. Do you know what I mean?
But I would like to have a conversation with that.
Yeah, so. we definitely allegedly need to have a chat about good old Chelsea, you know, Tory FC, you know what I'm saying?
But let me say on regards to Liverpool, I don't know if it's even Salah. Salah probably had effects of COVID, and I don't even think it's a combination of like them being misplaced, like them having issues up front. It's just Liverpool's been found out, like you said. It's the Klopp curse. Like, they play a specific type of style. There's no plan B, and once the clubs find out how they play, there's nothing they can do. So I think it's just a case of being found out. And, you know, being back-to-back champions, that's a strictly a live man thing, man. It's not for freshmen. So, of course, and like you said, the Klopp curse. Now he's out here trying to fight Sean Dyche and all the Brexiteers. Like, there's so much going on.
Wow.
So,
on that bombshell, big up man like Ginger Mourinho. On that bombshell, again, speaking of sickness, Chelsea, the rot has definitely set in, has it not? Like, it just needs to be mentioned. It needs to be said. And let the record show once again who found them out. Amma, remind the man them who found out Chelsea. Who was the one that once again waxed them after we waxed them in the FA Cup final? Who's the one that's now beaten them three times in a row, son? Unbeaten in three in the last three. And one of them was a cup final. Tell them now.
Look, Chelsea, here's my thing about Chelsea is they spent oodles of dough. The kind, you know, everybody was
jealous. £300 million
great British sterling pounds. 300 million Wong. And you gave it to a guy who was literally bullied into the Derby County job after his dad put in a good word. I can't wait. Just get up. You gave it to who?
That's bailout money.
Yeah. It's really the whole league was looking at Chelsea. They spent the kind of money you expect to see Manchester City spend. They did their normal, you know, Roman Abramovich business. They grabbed all this money, bought all these players. I mean, like, think about it. How greedy do you have to be?
300.
Right?
300.
And
with your their attacking options, right?
You gave Frank Lampard £300 billion.
And okay. Like, I don't understand how a club that had several, to your point, Amma, several attacking players already, two of them black, that they didn't invest time or talent in, and they said, we're going to get this random German guy, two random German
guys. Two Germans!
Two of them.
And then
please don't forget the other one.
And then we're going to get a Moroccan from Ajax.
Yes.
So
that you don't need. Right. You didn't need. Don't get me started. Anyway, Neil, please.
Obviously they stayed in the league and, bought Ben Chilwell as well. And I don't understand. I don't understand how a club goes out of their way, like literally gets in their own way. It's kind of like that meme of that kid riding his bike and then putting a stick into the wheel and then blaming everything else. Like, it's you did that. Antifa.
And like, you know,
do you know what it reminds me of? Thank you for mentioning Mendy, because they finally did something about the Kepa problem, right? But then they forgot to invest in the rest of the defense, which is just like, what the hell is wrong?
Oh, I mean, they did. They bought an aging Brazilian in Thiago Silva and thought that was going to be their savior, but obviously
that doesn't count. Wow. Like, come on, this man is in the twilight of his career, and you say you know who we need as a backup to Kurt Zuma, Thiago Silva. No, that's not. That's not.
Not even backup. He's starting and captaining the team.
Just literally walked on into the captain's armband, and then, as if it doesn't get any worse. Speaking of the captain's armband, how you didn't give that to N'Golo Kanté, but you then, on top of that, in all of your esteemed Tory wisdom, decide to alienate him for like the first half of the season before he actually starts clicking and you start using him regularly. Like, Frank Lampard, the experiment, whatever you want to call it, enough, okay? He did not do a good job at Derby, okay? Wayne Rooney has his work cut out for him.
Yes, he does.
Let's be fair here.
Yes,
okay?
He does. Good Lord.
Lampard has dropped him in a lurch. Now you give him a Premier League job, okay? This reminds me very much of the Tim Sherwood experiment that Spurs did. Do you remember that? Aston Villa did. Do you remember that shit? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of you lot giving all these risks to people who just can't hack it in a managerial job, and they have no experience. They haven't even managed a youth side, bro. Like, come on. Enough. And then you want to turn around and when it comes time to answer the question, why haven't you given a black manager a job yet? Like, why haven't you done it? Why haven't you done it? Why haven't you done it? And then you turn around and you give a job to big Franklin Lampard. I swear on everything that is holy and pure in football, you man are unserious people. You are just, shout out to Tosin.
If we're
unserious people.
If we're going to call Chelsea legends to be coaches, where is the call to Didier Drogba? Like,
where is the call?
Need a legend.
Like, yeah, and that's
just
the thing.
A competent manager. Like,
that's what I was about to say. Like, I feel like Premier League has changed, obviously, with the money, especially more recently, and just like, we'll throw money to fix a problem. But when you look at it, as much as I'm an anti-Lampard guy, he did well. He got the team that he was given in a transfer ban in a top four finish. Like, and there has to be something said about when you have a team, like, and that was a young team. The only signing at that point was Pulisic, but it was young. There has to be something said about chemistry. How much is the chemistry messed up when you have a team that did top four and you basically bought all their replacements?
You know what ruined the chemistry? When Pulisic did that GQ photo shoot.
Yikes.
That's how you fumble the bag, gentlemen.
Beginning of the end right there.
That wasn't GQ. That was PU.
Like, I'm sorry. I'm still not over the fact that they got this big velour-looking couch, yeah? And this man is wearing what I can only describe as Fruit of the Loom, the finest of the Fruit of the Loom vest with some next Wellington / biker boots that he's wearing. Like, this
everything
this
was
is...
ill-fitting, right? Like, I was like, it wasn't loose fit. You weren't going for, like, the, you know, early 2000s super thug, but then you weren't also in the Euro fit. Like, you were just awkward, bro.
You were just
cut,
like,
this is my jeans.
Yes!
Karate trousers, man. Your pants are
Levi
funny, man.
Jeans. Yeah, your trousers are funny,
fam.
Listen, that is how you fuck up. That's how you fuck up the whole vibe. That's how you fuck up the team chemistry. Yeah. That's how you fuck up the locker room. And this is the guy that you're telling me is Captain America? Get the fuck out of here. Chelsea deserve to be where they are as far as I'm concerned. You took a gamble and it absolutely did not pay off. And word on the street is, if the broadsheets are anything to be believed here, apparently Andrei Shevchenko is the favorite to replace Frank Lampard. Now, I have never seen a club ruin a player and a managerial career, but Chelsea could be the first, whichever.
But like I'm saying, you don't have to rely on, well, Shevchenko's not a club legend for Chelsea, but you don't have to rely on legends to do that. I mean, look, and like we've said, like, big money does not equal big success. If you are a trash manager, you will be exposed. If you have $0 to spend, if you have $300 million to spend. And Lampard's on borrowed time, thank goodness, because what he's got, I was just writing down what fixtures they have. They have Wolves at home, Burnley, who, you know, they could pull off an upset or two, then Tottenham, then Sheffield, then Newcastle. If he don't take, like, at least...
You got to get 12 points out.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
12 points.
Nine,
yeah.
12 points out of those five matches. If you don't, then yeah.
He's over.
Yeah. Maybe 10, but I feel like 12 out of those 15 should be yours.
So, like, for the record, like, as of this recording, Chelsea is in eighth 2 points above Arsenal. Arsenal, who is in the relegation battle at the beginning of the season.
Now. Yes, we were in a relegation battle, but we have done fairly well.
No, I put this to it's like the comparison is at because this is there's still plenty of room to drop. There's plenty of space for them to drop. That you know they're out of the contention right now, right? Like they're out of the conversation, even though folks were patting them on the back
for what?
Literally 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, like
for like what? Oh no, right. They'll come good. They'll come good.
Will they?
The Germans will deliver for them. Don't worry.
Well, I mean, they would deliver if you didn't play Timo Werner in fucking left wing. Let's start there. Let's also start with the fact that they should be using a strike partnership between Timo Werner and Tammy Abraham. Let's also go ahead and
free Tammy Abraham.
Listen, free the man. You're not like Batshuayi is also somebody who can get you goals. How on earth have you not managed to go ahead and utilize him properly? I don't get it. Like
because they're
you because know, he's at Crystal Palace.
But when they had him before they loaned him out, when they had him, they also loaned out Ross Barkley as well. Hello,
oh yeah. Like,
come on, it's no surprise that these players,
Mr. Cheeks.
I mean, man's definitely, yeah. I mean, like, man's definitely like, there's a lot of cake batter in those shorts. But like, at the end of the day, the whole point that I'm trying to make here is that you have all these players. You're not using them properly. That's number one. And number two, you're playing some of the most like erratic football that I think I've ever seen a side play. One moment you're in top four, the next moment you're mid-table. Like, it's just, it's wild, wild stuff.
And come February, they're going to get knocked out of the fucking Champions League.
That's what I was just about to say. I was like, he's got, like, if Lampard somehow lasts till February, he's gone right then. Because Diego Simeone and Atletico Madrid are going to make sure they finish him.
Man.
So, right. And they are balling this year, so.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no way, like, I'm sorry. Like, they got the first match February 23rd. The other one is, I think, the return leg is in March, and the first leg, I believe, is in Madrid. So you don't even get the home thing to maybe build up some confidence. Diego's going to finish them there and then just park the bus when they come back to Stamford Bridge and still probably score 2 or 3 goals on them. So
that's a good point. And even, I mean, while we're talking about, like, Spanish teams, like, there were some interesting results in the last couple of days. In Spain, both in the league and in like the Copa del Rey. Who was? Oh, are you going to keep that same energy, Adam? For
no, I was. I will. I'll own it. Barca, my team, my poor Barca is just in shambles. We had to. We were up 2-1, and Bilbao. Scored an equalizer in the Supercopa final, and then Iñaki Williams with what was an amazing goal in extra time to effectively finish us. Our GOAT even was so frustrated that he picked up his first red card ever for the team. And then got because a four match.
Because he is ready to leave. He is fed up.
This he's so this ready to leave. It's
a soap opera, again, and, previously.
I forgot which presidential candidate, because another thing that's complicating things is that we have a presidential election, so we can't even do anything in this transfer window because we don't have a president and a board. But one of the presidential candidates said we should have sold Messi last year and paid all of our bills and got better. And I totally agree with that. I love Lionel Messi. I hate that he's ever going to play for somebody that's not Barcelona. And it's not going to be back in Argentina. I don't like it, but we should have sold him for hundreds of millions of euros and plugged as many holes as we could, put all our trust in Ansu Fati and move forward. And now we're in this place where we're mid-table. We needed extra time today to beat a third-tier side in the Copa del Rey after missing 2 penalties in regular time. It's just Yeah, Barca is just a problem. The only joy I found was Real Madrid getting knocked out of the Copa del Rey by another third tier side. But other than that,
tune in next week when we discuss, will Barcelona actually beat the relegation battle on the next Are You Being Barcelona'd?
At this point, if we get Champions League places, it's a win for me this year, because that's it. Like, at this rate, we're just like, I feel like Messi, I mean, and all, I think I said it before, I think if Messi, if we, like, the cool thing about Champions League is, like, you can save your best for those matches. I mean, how many times has somebody been a Champions League winner who had a terrible season domestically? And I feel like that's the only potential saving grace of the season, is somehow Messi, in what seems like will be his final Barcelona season, like, miraculously pulls together amazing performances in the remaining Champions League games he has. And, you know, the draws are favorable, and then we just get lucky and win a Champions League. And, you know, he obviously leaves on a free transfer. We get nothing out of it. But if he leaves on a Champions League winner, I'll be like, yeah, fine, cool. That's fine. I'll take it. Like, at this rate, I'm just, like, grasping at straws, because this is just, yeah, this is
yeah.
it.
Because your club is a soap opera, fam. We told
right. you. That's what y'all have. That's the only thing y'all have, because y'all right now, I think, 10 points off the lead. And I think Atletico has, like, 2 games in hand already. So,
yeah.
Like, there could be no coming back from that. Unless Madrid would just really have to, like, collapse for y'all to come back. So the Champions League is really all y'all have.
Yeah, Madrid is at the top with 44 with 17 matches played. Real is 18 matches and they've got 37. Barcelona 18 matches and 34. Like, Atletico Madrid is just balling out this year. There's no question about it.
Oh, they're balling out.
They would have to have. So really, it's just like, well, can we just stay in third? Maybe overtake Madrid for, like, bragging points because of that rivalry. But, yeah, just trying to stay in the Champions League places, and whatever team we have next year, can they just maintain? Because that's the problem. We're in such debt I half want to be like, yo, can we still sell Messi this window? Like, I know we have no board, but... cut rate 100 million euros, please. Like, just get anything Lionel Messi at this point. And so, it's not gonna happen, but yeah, right.
The reason you don't want that to happen is, like, you just look at the transfer record of Barcelona in recent years, it's like
terrible.
I don't know if getting Messi money, like, if you get the Messi money now. Like, what's the structure in place? Yeah, you'll be able to spend it, but, like, what's the structure in place to make sure that you spend it in a way that buttresses the team, not just for the moment, but for the long term? I mean, like, it's the Barcelona problem has been a long time coming, and it's kind of like Arsenal, where your sins of the past several years in the transfer market are, you know, showing coming back to haunt you in the inability of the team to, like, form a cohesive unit, to play a distinct style of football that actually wins matches and keeps you solid. Like, I can't depend on Barcelona to outscore the opponents or to keep a clean sheet, or, you know what I mean? There's, like, I don't know what I'm going to get whenever I watch Barcelona. And it's just like, That's a really bad sign. So Messi money. You only get that chance once.
Right. And then the other thing, too, is, like, I think we were talking off the record the other day, but it's just one of those things where you, again, going to another sport with Jerry Krause and the Bulls, like, again, when you look at everything, he pulled the trigger too early on ending that dynasty. I think they probably could have won one or two more if he kept things together. But I appreciate his foresight. He knew that things were about to fall off, and he just pulled the trigger early. That's what happened with Barcelona. It's a weird thing where Barcelona had a world-class player literally at every position, and then you just held on to it too long. And again, they're legends, so it's hard to be like, hey, Iniesta, can you like fall back, please? Like, nah, he's Andres. It's the same thing with PK. Like, I don't want PK to start. Personally, me, I think Longley and Umtiti would be excellent as a center back pairing. Like, that should be the pairing. Like, I think that's the best option for us. But PK is a legend. Umtiti did come back. They rushed him back from the World Cup, and he's had injuries and lost his spot, so it's hard to win back. But I honestly think Longley and Umtiti is the best option. PK is still there. You can't get rid of him. We tried to replace Iniesta with Philippe Coutinho, who is not Iniesta. He's a great player, but he's a winger. Iniesta was a central midfielder who could pull strings. That's not Philippe Coutinho. You can't throw money at an issue and be like, oh yeah, do that. He's just not that. And then it wrecked his whole confidence where he had to ship him out to Germany to just even regain some semblance of play. I like the Dembele move. I think that was a good use of the money that they got from Neymar. Unfortunately, he's been injury plagued and never got a full rhythm, but I still like him. I still
root for him. Because he doesn't want to play for your club anymore. He's not.
And that's and right, and all the racism that he's had to endure and all the stuff. And like, and he actually scored the first goal today, so there's that. After missing a penalty, but he still scored. So I mean,
but putting a fine point on it.
Yeah.
Essentially, Barcelona are indeed the biggest soap opera in football right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what we can definitely go ahead and put under that. Another soap opera. Speaking of Spanish results, we do need to give full credit to third division, Alcoyano, as they knocked out big Real Madrid in the Copa del Rey. So it looks like misery loves company, because obviously Barcelona are doing poorly and Real Madrid are still dropping clangers as they stumbled their way to second place.
Speak of a legend getting kicked out. I mean, I feel bad for Zizou, for real.
He can't get a break, I don't think. What I thought was surprising for me is the state of both of these clubs. It was once a two-horse league.
Now the occasional third.
Yeah. Now it's just completely blown wide open. I'll tell you who I'm pleased for Atleti Madrid. Lucas Torreira. I'm pleased.
All roads lead to Arsenal.
Please.
Just thriving.
Anyway, let's go to Italy. A certain Juve showed up against a certain Inter Milan. And
they didn't show up. they didn't show up. Pirlo and his boys did something. And I don't know if they shit the bed before they, you know, before they put their Pampers on. I don't know what happened, but my God. The fact that Arturo Vidal, who obviously for the ball heads out there, know that he used to play for Juventus. He has a deep love for that club. They're in the intro, like while they were warming up, he literally kisses the Juve crest that is on Chiellini's chest while the players are warming up.
Wow.
And this man is wearing an Inter kit, right? Now, he scores the first goal, does the, you know, despite the fact that there are no fans in there, does the, you know, doesn't want to celebrate because it's his, you know, because he used to play there. And, you know, we did a watch along in the Banter Pub of that match, and it wasn't, you know, tit for tat. It was incredibly one-sided for Inter Milan. I have never seen a Juventus side that has so much talent. Aaron Ramsey, Rabiot, obviously CR7. They just have, McKinney recently. They signed.
Very well.
They have talent, you know, all over the pitch. And they couldn't, you know, Inter didn't even have to really play counterattacking football. They just literally were passing better. They, you know, they owned every facet of the pitch. They owned the midfield. They owned the, you know, the final third. And they owned the ball defensively. Like, they owned everywhere. And this is an Inter club that really was cut in half by COVID. So a lot of their players couldn't play. Similarly with Juventus, because, you know, there were several talents missing, but it was just a match. I mean, I know several of us were watching it, you know, with me, and I don't know.
Here's the thing.
As an Inter fan, I was elated with the result, but I wanted Juve to show up because I was not expecting Juve to just literally go out there and shit the bed.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that I can't even be nice about this. Juve got their asses kicked, and this is a significant this is a significant result because Juve are way behind in terms of the top four finishing. I think they're in fifth. Are they in fifth?
Yeah. They're in fifth right now.
Like, that is absolutely outrageous. I think for a side like that, this is obviously something that we were giving Frank Lampard some shit. Unfortunately, we might have to do the same for Andrea Pirlo. Now, I understand that he is an absolute legend. He's the Don, okay? The man is never not drippy, okay? Outside
didn't
of Kate.
Play? Wait, didn't he play for Conte?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he did.
But Conte came to be like, okay. You know, yeah. Master to the student.
Right. Like you see the levels now? Do you see the levels now? Like, that's the other thing as well. Like, not only do we have to kind of put a big question mark over the fact whether or not the Andrea Pirlo experiment is working at Juve, it probably isn't, for all intents and purposes, if the league positioning is anything to say about, but we need to put some respect on Inter Milan's name. They are not Premier League rejects, okay? No more of that shit. Stop that. Look how they absolutely made mincemeat of their competition.
And gave Ashley Young a hairline.
Yes. Like, Ashley Young has a fade in, like, for the what? The first time in what?
Smooth one, too. Like,
10 ooh, years, you know?
The Italian plastic surgery, boy.
I'm telling you, boy. Listen, boy. Hey.
Did he get surgery? Because I thought he just intentionally shaved his head.
Is that what happened? It just came back. Because I was like, maybe he got the good Italian hair club for men. I didn't know.
Whatever Italy's doing to your boy Ashley Young, it's working. That's all.
Maybe the castor oil is fresh in Italy. Like, maybe that's the difference.
It's got to be. Like, yeah. it's got to be the shit that comes like straight out of old country. What is it?
Nature is healing. Nature is healing now that the lockdown. Terrible. No, you're right. Like, Inter, I really like this team. I'm a big fan of Brozovic. I really think he was like the deciding factor in why Croatia even made the World Cup final. And so I only watched like the highlights. And I was reading something in The Athletic about they were focusing on the other midfielder for Inter, Barella from Sampdoria. And I watched him in the highlights, and he was amazing. He's been excellent. Brozovic's been excellent. The other Italian defender, Bastoni's been excellent. Their national side, Italy, I mean, Brozovic outside, but Barella and Bastoni, man, them folks are ill. And, of course, seeing Lukaku spin
man, Chiellini,
that was some shit.
Good Lord. Oh, my God.
That was
goddamn top. That is
a whole murder occurred on the pitch when he did that. But again, you will put some respect on big Romelu Lukaku's name. You will do it. I'm tired of all of you disrespecting big Rom. It's enough.
Big thing for Inter going forward. I know they're second right now, but as much as I'm sure they're disappointed after reaching Europa League final and losing and then dropping out of any European competition completely, that's an advantage because they're out of all competitions. They have less matches to play. They're only, I think, 3 points off the top of Milan. By the way, Coppa Italia, Inter and Milan, they play on Tuesday, the 26th. So if you got that, that's going to be, I would think, a pretty good match to catch. But
Be interesting to see how Ibrahimovic does for AC Milan. Definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, Inter. I feel like Inter kind of has the inside track because Milan still has Europa League to play. Inter's kind of gelling. They won't have all those extra matches to get them tired or anything. It's going to be an interesting last couple of matches in Serie A.
Well, we'll wrap up this segment with one more. We're going to go to the Netherlands real quickly. There is a certain, well, at the time of recording this, he has gone back to Schalke for some odd reason. But there was a very interesting thing that happened between Ajax and Feyenoord. Klaas-Jan and Huntelaar returned to the club at the time. Again, he's now at Schalke. And on the same day that he made his debut, fast forward all these years later, he comes off the bench to score not one, but two goals to pull Ajax from behind against Feyenoord and to win the match. Now, thought that was definitely worthy of note. Now, he's for some reason decided to go down with the ship at Schalke in the Bundesliga. Whatever kind of like, you know, emotional attachment he has to that club, it's next level. I can't really understand that. But I did think that was definitely worth mentioning, that interesting statistic in the Eredivisie. The fact that he, on the same day that he made his debut for the club, I think it was something like 20 years ago, something to that effect, he scores a brace to pull Ajax back from 1-0 down against Feyenoord. Sensational stuff, really. Like, that's beautiful.
And we're talking about a player in Huntelaar who, you're talking about his motivations attached to Schalke, because they're, you know, at the bottom of the relegations. They're literally the bottom of the table in the Bundesliga in Germany. And he does have a strong connection to that club. But at the same time, we're talking about an Ajax side that has a wealth of talent.
Yeah.
For a club that constantly, at least the past several seasons, has been pillaged by every other European club that you could think of for their talent, whether they be PSG, Manchester United, or Juventus, you are talking about a club that has the likes of David Neres still, that still has Antony, that still has Dusan Tadic, that still has Quincy Proms, who's been linked to several clubs in this January window. Like, so you're talking about an Ajax side, and I don't really get too passionate about this, but I will for the sake of this episode. Like, Ajax for decades was, you know, one of the undercurrents in European football as far as the European Cup play was concerned. They were the stepchild in some seasons, and when they were successful, they were successful. And recently, they've become giant killers. Now, they haven't had the greatest of success in the most recent Champions League, but prior to that, they were giant killers. And then that team got pillaged.
Wasn't it right? Juve? Wasn't it Juve and Real Madrid that they beat back to back?
Yes, it was. And that was right. And that team literally was pillaged after that season. And several of those players left, and it gave opportunity to players like David Neres and Quincy Proms, who, you know, left PSV and went to Ajax, gave prominence to Danny van der Beek before he eventually went to Manchester United. Klaassen, who's rising, Kudus, Ghanaian player. You have several players who are going to do well in that club. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to see what Ajax does with the remainder of their season. They don't have a whole lot to play for. They got knocked out of European play. They're still playing in the Europa League, but we'll see what happens with them going forward. And hopefully their team doesn't get blown up again after this season is over with. But speaking of things getting blown up, obviously we're in the middle of the January transfer window. And when we come back from a break, that's what we're going to go into. We're going to talk about the transfer window and how the fuck it's going.
The goddamn sauce. 9 different flavors, same goddamn feeling. Share our passion for sauce and discover the full goddamn range at www.thegdsauce.com. Boss up.
And welcome back. So, guess what? We've arrived at the meat of our segment this week. In case you have noticed, it's the January transfer window, everybody. Now, the winter window is... Sometimes you get a few surprises, sometimes you don't. Sometimes it's just a whole bunch of guff. But in this instance, there are some things that we want to go over. Now, making a roll call really quickly, we have Neil, who represents Man United. We have Jonathan, who represents Manchester City. And then, of course, the people with sense and good taste, exquisite taste, myself, Adam and Arma, we are all proud representatives of the Arsenal Football Club. Now, this is the halfway mark of the season.
Jeez Louise.
We have three questions to ask. So we will start with our singular representatives, and I think we'll go with Jonathan first. What does your club need to improve on? What position or player do you need? And then what does success look like towards the end of the season? And, as a bonus question, has it changed?
Well, what a position that we're in on this lovely day, the day after inauguration 2021. City, who there were calls for Pep to leave, to get kicked out, is now back. We're back. City's back. Game in hand for first place, and feeling good. Yeah, I mean, defensively, we had the best defense in the league. Conceded 13 goals in total this season, which is amazing. And we've been fortunate to have a revival of John Stones, a revival of Ilkay Gundogan, both players who I thought were going to be gone this past offseason, our short, like, 2-week offseason, but stay with the club. And now, you know, Gundogan is now our Turkish Zidane, and John Stones is it's a reincarnation of Tony Adams now. So I feel blessed.
Okay, you are wilding so hard right
now.
Tony Adams, get the fuck. Listen, finish.
I'm gonna let you cook. I'm gonna let you cook.
No, don't. We can't let that stand.
Thank
absolutely
you, Adam.
Not. No.
Thank you.
Finish the questions. What do you need to improve on? What position or player do you need? And then what does this man said? Tony Adams. I cannot.
Turkish Jesus. Wow.
Get out of here. What?
Bless them. Coming through for us.
Also, but so real quick, Jonathan, as you answer what player you need, curious about if you could respond about Aguero with the COVID-19 test today. So,
yeah, that's a great segue, because I think what we need forward play. We have Phil Foden, who's been great. Aguero, there's been discussions on whether or not he's going to stay with the club after this season. Signs point to no, and with his positive COVID test, and he's been injured most of the season as well. I don't know. It's not looking good for him. But at the beginning of the season, we were struggling. We were struggling to score goals. We were defending well, but except our game against Leicester, which is an anomaly. But we had trouble scoring, and that's mainly because we have just taken on the role of just trying to walk the ball in to the net, and we don't have players that can actually just shoot the ball. Like, that's all we need you to do right now. And Aguero was that person, and now he's gonna be gone. He's sidelined for who knows how long with his COVID case. So it's definitely up front, and so we need reinforcements. I don't know what we're going to do in this window. We'll probably not be able to do much in terms of forwards out there, unless, you know, Real Madrid wants to give up one of their 10 young players that are struggling for time on Zizou. But I think if we can't get anyone the talks are to get Haaland from Dortmund, who I think is strictly based off of play, not his personality, not what he tweets he likes.
Here we go.
He will be a great signing because he's a person that I can just, he can score goals from anywhere. He's not going to try to pass the ball into the net. He's just a pure goal scorer. Pure in the sense of football play, obviously, not referencing anything else about him.
Phrasing.
Yep. I knew that was going to be the disclaimer before you mentioned this guy. I knew it. I fucking knew it. If he's anything like his idol in Donald John Trump, he will give you one good season and then he will completely cock it up. The second.
I'll take that.
That's if he gets a second season, obviously, because obviously Trump lost the election. Anyway, the fun fact of the matter is that regardless of whether you get these players or not, what does success look like for City at the towards the end of the season?
I mean, our goal is to win the league, win it back from Liverpool, and thankfully, they, as aforementioned, fumbled the bag, and so we have a game in hand that could put us in the first place. And so I think all we need to do is defending is going to be solid for the rest of the year, thankfully. And so, yeah, our ambition is to win the league, win the Champions League too. That's the ultimate goal, which, you know, we're in a good place to do.
It's never going to happen. So don't even.
Famous last words. Famous last words from our United fans.
Speaking of Man United. Well, I mean, yeah, there's no way that they're going to be lifting that cup wearing those fucking drunk zebra shirts. Of the game. Anyway, speaking of Man United, Neil, Mr. Yes. Carter.
Yes, sir.
Same questions. What does your club need to improve on? What position or player do you need, if you need one? And what does success look like towards the end of the season? Go.
Well, I mean, I'll try to be as brief as possible. I think I'd be remiss if I wouldn't say that I think at the beginning of the season, we kind of didn't know what kind of players we had towards the, you know, as we've gotten towards the middle of the season, some of our players who people have said, oh, they're on the out because they're ready to go, don't realize that they're super agents who manage other super, maestros in the beautiful game only want fucking commission. And yes, I'm talking about Paul Pogba and his agent. The only reason the Pogba rumors exist is because his agent, Mauro Ranallo, wants to get a ridiculous commission at Juventus. So, but in terms of players that we need, I mean, obviously, it's no secret that McTominay and Fred are not, you know, if we could have a mix of McTominay, Matic, and Fred together as one player, I think we'd have a great CDM. At the moment, that's not what we have.
Nope.
And in this market, it's going to be incredibly tough to find a quality center defensive mid that is willing to leave their side. The board has come up with a lot of surprises there. You know, we got Diallo joining us from Inter as of January 1st to kind of bolster our right midfield and our white ring. But we really need a center defensive mid, something bad. And there aren't many center defensive mids that are kind of low on their contract or that have recently got their contract reshuffled. That, I mean, maybe like the one, like a center defensive mid that I would love us to have would be like a Marcus Llorente at Atletico Madrid or an Axel Witsel at Borussia Dortmund. Like, that's the kind of center defensive mid we need. There aren't many in the Prem that I would take outside of maybe N'Golo Kanté, but I think his price tag is too high to go to another Prem team, which means he's more than likely to go elsewhere. So, you know, and then as far as where do I see us, like, obviously, we want to win the league. We're at the top of the table now. But, you know, because everyone's got a taste of the, you know, the top of the table at this point so far, except for some clubs. Like,
please relax. Please relax. Please relax.
I didn't name any clubs.
Please relax.
I didn't name any clubs.
I just need you to relax. Just settle down. And
can I finish my point, please? Jesus. Anyway, you know, we obviously want to win the league. You know, we are the only club represented on this podcast, and certainly in the Prem, who's won the league 20 times in all of its iterations. So, you know, winning the league for a 21st time would be, you know, just an additional feather in the cap. Winning the additional cups would be, you know, masterful as well. Any silverware is worth it. Obviously, we got knocked out of the Champions League, so we're going to be fighting for your, you know, Europa League dominance with the rest of some of our Premier League teams, one of which is going to be talked about in a moment. But yeah, I mean, we're any and all silverware we'd love to win. And obviously, I think winning the league title is probably top of mind. But I think in order to do that, we need a center defensive mid before the window closes. And I don't know where we're going to get that center defensive mid from.
Well, I will go ahead and follow up and finalize that point by saying you won't get one. Right, so now it's on to more important things to talk about now. Yes, it's now time to talk about the Arsenal. Here's how I kind of thought we can work this one, lads. Arma, could you tell us what we need to improve on? Adam, could you tell us what position or player you think we need? And then I'll finish up by answering what success looks like for us at the end of the season.
Yeah, sure. That sounds reasonable.
Perfect.
So if you look at our performances this season, it's clear that we've had problems creating against some of the lesser teams, and even against some of the quote unquote top half of the table teams that set up in the low block, like they were some of those lesser teams, and so we've lacked a little bit of creativity until recently. And additionally, we've had, I think, a relatively poor goal-scoring record this season. We needed to increase our number of goals coming from midfield, you know, so like do what a Ramsey used to do. So we need, at the beginning of the season, we did do the business and secure Thomas Partey. That would have been my number one issue to resolve, but we've got Gabriel. Saliba's out on loan. Our super giant hole was plugged reasonably well, like with the rotating cast of characters at center back. We have a pathway forward. We have a CDM to carry us forward. I think we need a creative partner in the pivot, or at least a more box to box midfielder. we've allowed Mesut Ozil to go back to his homeland, and that's freed up in the larger Arsenal consciousness, freed up space for Smith Rowe, and my expectation is that we're going to pursue and secure a mentor for Emile Smith Rowe in the 10 slot. So center attacking mid is the top priority, followed by box to box midfielder, and I wouldn't be mad if we secured a backup for Kieran Tierney as well in left back. So those are the areas I would look for help in.
In terms of position player, that's pretty much, I would honestly say the priority is probably a backup for Kieran Tierney. I think that's the one thing that you You know, winter windows are, like you mentioned, are just kind of weird. But I think you definitely need to fill in that left back because he's had injuries before. I hope he's past it. But, you know, the rotating of potentially, you know, Maitland Niles or Cedric filling in if he ever has an issue or just needs rotation. We're going to go back to Europa. We still have FA Cup things to play. You just have to give the man a rest, even if he's not injured. So I think that's actually the top priority for us is just making sure we have a solid backup option. I agree in terms of the creative midfielder. There's word that we're in the hunt to get Martin Odegaard on loan from Real Madrid.
Yes. Yes.
Because of the fact that I forgot who mentioned that all the players at Real Madrid who are just itching for time. And Martin Odegaard is the one that seems like, you know, they finally put him on first team after they made such a big deal to get him there. And he's just not getting the time. So we already have Dani Ceballos. So I think they already have that relationship. So I think 6 months is a decent amount just to get him there. I think he's a really great creative attacking mid. Also young, but I think more mature than some of the guys we have. Other than that, again, I that's what I'm hoping for. I'm proud of the team for trimming the squad and getting rid of some people and, you know, just having that, you know, just cutting down. But I agree, left back and that just that creativity in midfield is just I think that's something we hope Dani Ceballos would do, and he just hasn't really fully grown into it. He's shown flashes, yeah, but it just hasn't been enough to be sustainable. And it's a loan deal too, right? And even Odegaard, I'm okay with a stopgap measure as long as in the summer, because that's the thing, winter's so small. If they can somehow, and I'm really hopeful because of the relationship they already have with Real Madrid, that they can work, that hopefully we're the favorites and he can, I hope he looks at the situation and sees, oh yeah, they really need help. And I'm sure he just wants to play. And if he came, he's going to play as opposed to going.
Yeah. So question on that note, like what if one of the conditions is to give back Ceballos? Would you go Odegaard?
Like ship him. That's not even like what ticket is it? I mean,
sharing minutes with Elneny. So
yeah, exactly. If you can't, and I'm happy for the Elneny resurgence. He's enjoyable to watch, but the fact that you cannot displace Elneny in the squad, bro. Nah, man, that's not a good look for you. So I mean, I think Odegaard would be a great piece. I wish we could just send William back to Brazil.
The less said the better.
I know it's talking about people we want, but I think that would be such a great addition by subtraction in just getting rid of William. I think the backup left back is a high priority, especially with the short notice, because we really only have Kieran. Everybody else is like playing out of position if we put him there. But after that, definitely creative attacking midfielder.
Well, here's the thing. With all that being said and done, I think success towards the end of the season looks like us either making a cup final berth of some description, whether it's the FA Cup and defending that in the final again, or whether we make the Europa League final again. I think that definitely is something that is achievable. I think considering that we have a whole bunch of like cooks in the kitchen at the moment, we do need to think about letting players go rather than adding any. So success towards the end of the season also looks like cutting some numbers, because we have a lot of players that are just basically just like on the fringes. And one of which we didn't have to give all that money, but is clearly not going to work out. Taking time away from Pepe as well, who already has had a kind of an erratic couple of seasons for us. And I really wish he can get some more stability under his belt, but not with Willian playing in his position. He also wants to try and play Willian through the middle as well. It's just like, well, if you're going to do that, then you probably should have just went ahead and gotten someone like Todd Cantwell from Norwich at the beginning of the season. We also do need cover on the right as well. So Max Aarons is somebody that I would have liked to have seen in an Arsenal shirt. But sticking to the sticking to the script.
Well, y'all need to win the FA Cup because you need to defend the Community Shield, don't y'all?
That's correct.
Wow.
That's correct.
Let him back.
We're coming back.
In order to compete in the Community Shield, you have to have won something.
Correct.
So, like, why were you guys not in the Community Shield?
Exactly. Why is it that you are bragging about the Carabao Cup as if anybody actually sees it for that when you have the two biggest domestic honors that basically get you to that Community Shield? You get to lead the season off. You get to be the focal point for the beginning of the season. And it's the first piece of major domestic silverware that you are able to compete for. You weren't there. Last time I checked, you lost at the semi-final of the FA Cup and you did absolutely fuck all in the league last season. So when we need you to show us how to lose these things, we'll call you. Okay. Now, onward. Success towards the end of the season also looks like us getting in the top six. I don't care how we do it, but it's possible to do it considering how tight it is in mid-table at the moment. So that is where I will... I think it's a great place to go ahead and put a full stop there, lads. I think between the three of us, we can definitely save Arsenal's skin and turn a bad season into a good one.
Oh, I did have one aside on like the position player you need. I didn't mention it, but I think we also need to consider another backup keeper, right? Like
that is a priority. They did say that is another priority in this window.
Oh, good, because so I'm not like it. We saw because what's his name, Runnerson, Alex. We saw him in the Europa League. He looked decent, but like one of the things I noticed immediately was like this dude is shorter than Leno. And he's athletic, but like he doesn't fill me with a bunch of confidence. He's super young. And I feel like,
where is he from again? Is it Finland or Iceland?
Norway, or some
Scandinavian area of Europe, right? Like, it's
so for all intents and purposes,
near the Arctic Circle.
Okay, so all intents and purposes, he's the Scandinavian Jordan Pickford, and that's exactly what we don't need. So it's like,
right,
something on Emi Martinez's level at the very least. You get me? You get me? Like, we need that. So I would agree there. But yes,
what you need is Zidane's son.
Why do we need him?
No. Because he is the backup keeper for Real Madrid B, and he's pretty.
So thank you very much. Moving along quite swiftly.
Trying to sell us another Willian.
You know,
we only take so much, fam. We can only take so much.
Anyway. I could take Gundogan. He's a Turkish Zidane.
You know what?
We did our business with Turkey already, and it went the right direction.
We don't need to be doing this, lads. Basically, the whole thing that we need to focus on is basically making sure that we continue our good record in the Europa League, that we continue to do what we need to do in the FA Cup, and finally we go ahead and continue putting results together. Stringing results together, keeping clean sheets, and then we'll see where we are come March. Like, if things continue at the pace that they're going, we could definitely break top six. I don't see that being a too much of a problem at all, especially if we're playing the way that we're playing.
Yeah, I see that. And it wouldn't be a disappointment if we were in the final of the FA Cup again. That's always a wonderful shout.
Hey, listen, I'll take 15. I'll take 15. Looks good. It's a nice prime number. Right, we're going to take a quick... we're going to take a quick break. We're going to pay a few bills. And when we get back, we will finish up with our brand new end segment called Extra Time.
The goddamn sauce. 9 different flavors. Same goddamn feeling. Share our passion for sauce and discover the full goddamn range at www.thegdsauce.com. #BossUp.
And welcome back. We are back. So, extra time. The brainchild of one armor, which is a really good idea. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to time people as well. 30 seconds or less, each host can drop something that caught their attention in the last week or moved them in the last week. So, well, the math may not be mathing for the whole thing about 15 not being a prime number. But the maths are definitely mathing. And you know what? The maths are mathing so hard right now that, Jonathan, you can go first for chatting shit. You son of a bitch. Like,
thank you. Thank you for bestowing this honor for me. I'm grateful.
You know,
the swag is back.
Yeah.
Where's my Ether music?
I'm not giving you no Ether music. You don't get no Ether music. You get it because you got no bars anyway. Anyway, 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay. I just want to say. Hold on.
You can't just go. I got to say starting now. Like, see how.
Get the math right. I want my 30. I don't want 15 seconds.
Anyway. 3, 2, 1, go.
I just want to. One highlight, something I've been seeing on Twitter. I mean, it's, you know, and of course with imperialistic living, but around this case run in Russia, we have such an anti-Putin lens, which is, I mean, I got no love of Putin, but they are uplifting to replace him an even more nationalist, ultra-nationalist leader who's going to do even worse than Putin. So I've been seeing that in relation to football, and I'm like, please do not hype up a neo-Nazi. It's because you don't like Putin. Please don't do that. For goodness sake, just leave Russia alone. Let them handle their business. Please, I beg of you. We got nothing to do with them. They got nothing to do with us, despite everything folks have been saying about rigging the election. Just leave them alone, because we don't need a neo-Nazi there like we do in Ukraine right now. That's my piece.
Adam, you're up.
So, following up on the Russia piece, funny enough, I think the piece that caught me this week was, I'll probably jack up his name, but opposition leader Andrei Navalny, calling out the fact that he thinks that Roman Abramovich should be one of the 8 Russians who should be sanctioned by Western powers, just because of his involvement with the current administration in Russia. Considering all of Chelsea's issues right now, and the fact that even, I think, what was it, maybe last year or the year before, when Britain didn't even renew like his visa to even let him come back, I think that's going to be interesting to see how those things go forward, and how that affects Chelsea, and what if, you know, that $300 million might be the last investment that he makes, and what happens going forward. So that's it for me.
Chelsea becoming members of Broke Fi Broke, we ain't got it. Arma, you are on the clock. 3, 2, 1, go!
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't mention the thing that moved me the most this past week was watching this young woman named Amanda Gorman flex the black girl magic in front of the whole world at 22 years old. At the inauguration of one Joseph Robinette Biden and Kamala Harris. This young black woman gave, I think, the most moving piece, the biggest reason for optimism for me personally, in this, you know, transition between administrations. The optics, the audio, the swag, I mean, and her youth in contrast to all the decrepit in comparison to the folks she was surrounded by, it was such a wonderful contrast and gave me a reason to smile and to look up for once in a really long time. I mean, it was a really wonderful visual, and if you listen to her speak, deliver that poem, you You'd have to be a hard-hearted son of a bitch to not be moved.
And Amanda so Gorman doing the damn thing. Shout out to you, sis. Neil, 30 seconds in 3, 2, 1, go.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention what the Black Players for Change, the Black Player Coalition, put together in the past 2 days. They put together a live webinar talking about discrimination, talking about players kneeling or not kneeling, and the weaponizing of it, respectively, not just in the United States, but across the world. And just really highlighting their involvement and impact in the beautiful game. And the fact that they needed to organize. I think it's something that definitely moved me, definitely moved our podcast. We shared both webinars. We were happy and excited to participate and be a large part and be involved with what's going on there. And we are going to continue that going forward into season 2 and into the rest of our season. So, you know, definitely check out that on our Twitter account.
I'm bringing up the caboose. Yes, that was some really good stuff as well from Independent Supporters Council, North America. There was a really good stuff that was over the last couple of days as well in relation to what Neil was talking about. Shout out to Mr. Kyle Carr, who absolutely brought the house down with his presentation on Wednesday, I think it was. And of course,
it was awesome.
There was a really good webinar that was yesterday that was pretty decent also. My thing that caught my attention this week, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Chop House that happened over the weekend. Shout out to big man like Rox Fontaine. Shout out to the wonderful, lovely, unbelievably incomparable Shanoa. And also shout out to Kenneth, who for some reason decided that in the midst of being not just one, not just two, but 2.5 hours late to Chop House, he decided that it would be amongst his esteemed wisdom in the middle of a Panasonic, in the middle of a Panini, in the middle of a pandemic to go ahead and pick up his what? His legged and quartered goat from this mystical butcher somewhere in the Chicago area. Now, the big other don't get me wrong, man loves a bit of curried goat, but I'm not making midnight runs for this stuff. Turns out my man is not just paying for it just with money like any, you know, normie out here. Oh, no. He's tutoring the butcher's offspring whilst waiting for this goat to be legged and quartered. This man went through the fucking cupboard at the from the Chronicles of Narnia, went ahead and chatted to Aslan and their man there, went ahead and had a, you know, kicked it with the Ice Queen, and then picked up a goat and came home. Shout out to Kenny for being the most weirdest but most interesting person that I've met in the last week. And you thought I was not going to mention this on an episode. Nah, the people need to understand. You know how you survive in a pandemic? You go through to J.R.R. Tolkien's land in the Shire. You pick up a couple goats and you come home. That's how you beat this pandemic. And that is Extra Time. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Banter Pub FC. As I said, we are back. A certain man thought that we were dead. I didn't hear about that. I'm pretty sure I speak for everybody here that we didn't hear about that either. But nope. check your facts next time before you chat shit. Otherwise, you get banged. We are the sauciest team in the game with the spiciest takes on the pitch. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at the Banter Pub FC. Follow and subscribe on soon YouTube and Twitch, where battle arenas will be taking place. Shout out to Clay, big man like Clay Winstead, one of the board members for Cincinnati Spurs. I see you. Thank you so much. By the time this episode comes out, we would have already done battle. So thank you so much for taking part in that. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow, and review us on your favorite platform. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, Hold Tight, Pocket Cast, all the places that you can get this luscious audio. Like.
Dog Catcher.
Yep, that's right. For Armor, Adam, Jonathan, Neil,
yeah.
I am Joseph. We'll see you next time.
Grills.
At the pub. Be easy. Take care.
See you next week.